Vimukta sankho jitata Because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed, and envy, it creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world. Therefore, the mind is the cause of all bondage and liberation. The pure mind thinks I am this body. The pure mind knows that he is not the material body. Therefore, the mind is considered to be the root of all material designations. Until the living entity is removed from the association of contamination of this material world, the mind will be absorbed in such material things as birth, death, disease, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity. In this way, the living entity is conditioned and he suffers material miseries. Exhibiting this uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious, although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitution position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. Report, there is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered. Neglect. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's orders. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to say that to control the mind, one should be with a shoe many times just after awakening, and again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instruction of all the Shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and the agent of the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction for Goswami, Brahmanda Brahmita Kun Bhagavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasad Kai Bhakti Maradhi. When one receives the seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna's Supreme Personality of God, one's real life begins. If one abides by the orders of the spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna's Krishna service of the mind. Thus end the Bhagavan performs the fifth canto of the chapter Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Dharam and Sanskrit. So in these verses we see that Jadvara is talking about the mind as the cause of conditioning. And therefore, if one wants to get out of conditioning, one has to control the mind. This, of course, is also said in Bhagavad Gita, the mind is the enemy because it can degrade you. And again, the mind can be the friend if we control the mind. So, in this way, the mind has a double function. It can be the enemy or the friend, depending on how we use it. This, of course, is a general statement. When we talk about mind, we obviously know it's not just the mind. Because of the mind, we have intelligence, and we also have ahankara, and we have avidya. So all of these are there, and of course then we have desires and actions and karma, etc. And so all of these are factors in the bewilderment of the jiva. The origin, of course, is avidya, or ignorance. Ignorance of the Supreme Lord. And then from that we get ahankara and intelligence and mind arising, actions and karma, etc. And all sorts of desires. Of course, the whole thing we can call mind in one sense is the activities of the subtle body, etc., which drive us further into illusion. Ultimately, of course, it is avidya. So this is accepted both by the Gyanis and by the Yogis and as well as the devotees of the Lord. However, there are different ways of solving this problem of uncontrolled mind and of avidya. So the Gyanis' simple solution is avidya means ignorance. The opposite of ignorance is knowledge. So therefore, by knowledge, we get rid of ignorance, and therefore we're free from everything. Simple solution. So therefore, that is the process of jnana. You get rid of avidya by jnana. This, of course, is a little bit of an intellectual process in the beginning. But ultimately, the conviction must be there in the soul itself. When that happens, then of course one is free from when you realize, yes, I'm not the body, but I am Atma, and that is realized not by the mind, but by the Atma, then you're free. But to get from the intellectual level to the Atma level is a little difficult. So therefore, the process of jnana is a little difficult. In the process of yoga, the main impetus is to control and stop the functions of citta. Which means, of course, not only consciousness, but mind, intelligence, and ego also. So rather than working for knowledge, the attempt is there to stop the functions of the subtle body. So this is done through the Astanga Yoga process, using Pratyahara, Dharana, Jhana, and practice Samadhi. Samadhi means everything is stopped. All of the mental functions have stopped working. So that means ahankara, intelligence, buddhi, and manas, and the senses stop their functions at that point. And then only the atma is left to function. So that is the method of yoga. Krishna prefers that method to the jnana method in chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, where he says that yoga is superior to jnana. Even this method is difficult and usually takes long periods of time to stop the functions of the mind, even if you do have a process like yoga. It is very difficult to completely stop those mental functions. So, the other process, the third process, is the process of bhakti. This is a little different. Because it does not try to stop the mental functions at all. It is something like jnana in that it tries to get to the atma. But the process is a little different. That is, the soul itself, if it has some favorable attitude towards the Lord called faith, then by engagement of the senses towards the Lord, one performs the process of bhakti. So what this does is increases the favorable attitude towards the Lord in the atma. So this, in other words, the process of bhakti by using the senses produces a transformation in the atma, not just to destroy avidya, but rather to develop attraction to the Lord. So the process of jnana is more or less a negative process of wiping out ignorance. The process of bhakti is to produce attraction for Krishna. In the process, the ignorance is destroyed also. So it is easier to develop the attraction for the Lord than it is simply to destroy the ignorance without any other positive feature. So that is why Krishna recommends the process of bhakti. It accomplishes whatever jnana is to do, that is, removes ignorance. It accomplishes what yoga is supposed to do, that is, stopping the mental functions. But in a different way, it stops the material mental functions. But there's no harm if the mental functions are spiritual, that is, concentrated on the Supreme Lord of devotion. So, therefore, the process of bhakti is the ultimate process recommended by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, because it's easier and it's quicker. And the result is different. Whatever is mentioned here about stopping karma and birth of the material world and miseries, etc., and controlling the mind, all that is accomplished. But what is actually accomplished by the process of bhakti is attraction to the Lord. So that is this outstanding quality, which does not take place in jnana or yoga. But what is the result of that? The result is, of course, prema and bliss, which is not available through yoga or through jnana, or at least in the same quantity. So therefore, the bliss of liberation is minuscule in comparison to the bliss of prema for the Lord. So in terms of result, the process of bhakti gives something much better. Whatever is there in jnana yoga is achieved, but it gives something much better. And it is easier process, it is quicker process. Therefore, Krishna recommends this process for the people in general. It is also open to everyone, whereas jnana and yoga require prior qualification of being in sakaguna, in steadiness. This is not, therefore, available for everybody, because nobody in Kali Yuga is in sakaguna. So these processes become impossible anyway to follow strictly. So that is why Krishna recommends the process of bhakti, particularly because everybody can do it provided they have that inclination or shraddha. So the whole process, therefore, of the devotees is to produce shraddha in people so that they can partake in bhakti. Once they get the shraddha, then they can begin to practice bhakti. So therefore the devotees somehow engage others so that they can get that faith. And once they get the faith, then they can begin the process of bhakti. So how does one get the faith? It is not a conscious effort, because without faith, one will avoid bhakti. And at the same time, we cannot force a person to do bhakti, because it's aparadha. So the only way to produce faith that's not already there is to provide opportunities for people to contact bhakti without their knowing it. And that's the only way they can get it. So if they hear the name or take prasad or see the deity or whatever, all of these is simply done without preaching or anything, are means by which gradually they can develop faith. And once they've got the faith, then we can preach to them. So that is the process prescribed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. don't preach to the faithless, but spread the chanting of the holy name in such a way that everybody else hears it. And through that hearing, gradually they can begin to develop that faith. And then we can give them some philosophical teaching, etc. So therefore, here Jatvara is teaching King Vrhugana, and he concludes, even though the basic approach here is more on the level of jnana, that he's analyzing the difference between the body and the soul, etc. Ultimately, he also concludes, not with jnana and yoga, but with bhakti, and that one should conquer the mind by service to the Supreme Lord. So that is the final conclusion of Jatavara, that bhakti is the best process for conquering over the material world. Well, where the desires come from, the desires are held at the mind. We can say to some extent they produce the desires, but it's not independent, because the desires come because of memories, one, and two, the memories will come by experiences, and the experiences are not only due to the mind, but due to the senses. We have to use our senses in order to develop memories. So therefore, it's not just the mind produces desires, it is also the senses and our contact with sense objects in the material world and our actions to get those particular objects of desire. So it's a combination of things which produces more desires. It's not just the mind. Conventional, of course, the mind includes all, let's say, ahankara and buddhi and mind and sex, as in the larger sense. You can say mind in capital letters or whatever you want. And of course, it's also taking, let's say, a traditional view for yoga or whatever. And they try to conquer the mind, the source of everything. Though ultimately, even that. In yoga, they realize the causes are also, the pleasures are caused by avidya, also. Ultimately, that's what bhakti is. His interest in pure mind thinks he is not the body, and impure mind thinks he is the body. The question is, since the mind, which is associated with the gross body, even though it is associated with devotees and Shastra, since it's in the material world, how will the mind be fully purified as it is surrendered to material nature? How can the being be completely aloof from the contamination of the material world? Well, the yoga process to stop the mind completely, so it doesn't function. And then there's no mental thing happening, only the Atma functions at that point. By stopping the mind, senses, etc. As long as we use the mind, yes, there's going to be some problem. We can make the mind sattvic, but that's not enough, because sattva is also bondage. The mind will continue to operate and cause more bondage and new activities, etc. So you stop the mind, and then you're free from that. But that's a difficult process. So that is why the process of bhakti is to develop the soul or the Atma and attract it for the Lord, and automatically all the other things disappear. Because avidya disappears, and avidya disappears, and then all these other things will also disappear.
The Prabhupada talks about the pure mind and impure mind. Can you say that both these are the same aspect, the same mind, the impure and pure aspect, two divisions of the mind?
Well, it's one mind, but it functions in different ways. If it's uncontrolled, then it's influenced by desires to enjoy the material world, then it's contaminated. On the other hand, if the mind is used in bhakti yoga to serve the Lord, and then it has no negative functions at all. It becomes useful for spiritual advancement. So we say that engaging the senses and the mind in the service of the Lord is the definition of sadhana bhakti.
Can we say the soul is the source of contamination of the mind?
It's the division, it's the decision of the Atma to enjoy the material world.
It means the mind which is associated with a particular Atma, that from time to time it's always having a contamination.
We can say simply that the mind magnifies the desires of the soul itself and causes activities which cause karma. So the soul itself doesn't create karma because it doesn't do anything as such in the material world. But due to ahankara, we associate with the body, identify with it, and with desires, we do actions, with actions we get karma.
Well, even in the process of bhakti, we give puranamans for gaining proper knowledge, because without having proper knowledge, even if you perform bhakti, it may go to a different direction. The destination may be wrong, or we may not have a proper understanding about the process of bhakti, and do it wrongly, and we end up in the So even the process of bhakti, we give a predominance for gaining knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Well, that knowledge is part of bhakti. Obviously, the human being has the ability to think it as intelligence, which animals don't have. So, it's only the human being that can spiritually advance with his higher intelligence. In other words, his capacity for jnana is much more. But if it's the jnana of a personal style, then that's one thing, which is purely analytical and leading into Brahman. But the jnana of bhakti is intellectual knowledge of understanding, sambandha, sambandha jnana, or bhagavad jnana. That is actually part of bhakti and is useful for the development. So we use the intelligence or some intellectual capacity for executing bhakti. So, in other words, the intelligence and mind and senses are not useless in bhakti, they're engaged. They're all engaged.
Can you see when you're chanting, you're purifying the soul rather than the mind? Because when the mind is really skilled, since the Atma is impure, the mind is very...
Well, it's not only purifying the mind, that's purification is a side product of, say, a side reaction or a side benefit of attraction to the Lord, that's all. Purification also, jnanis get purified and not in Brahman, so purification itself is not enough. To avoid, just to remove ignorance is not enough. If you remove ignorance, you get mukti. So in bhakti, we don't just simply purify the Atma. We develop attraction for the Lord. The Atma becomes attracted to the Lord. The pure impurity disappears, but something more than jnana gives is produced in bhakti.
Brahman, even in the spiritual world, the intensity of prema differs from soul to soul. What is the difference?
Not
due to sadhanas.
Different sadhanas.
The Atma being spiritual, the question that we ask is how matter can grow in the spirit. Is matter powerful in the spiritual world, in the spirit?
How can matter? Well, because the jiva decides to neglect the Supreme Lord, that's all. Only the choice of accepting or neglecting or refusing the Supreme Lord. And from that, if one tries to enjoy, etc., then this is what we call ignorance. So it's the choice of the jiva. So it's a little effect. Even if Shishupal chants the name of Krishna, he's affected and the soul becomes converted, but gradually. So it's a more gradual effect than bhakti. But it happens. As long as one is not committed aparad, then there is some... That's why it takes a long time for a gyata sutra to accumulate enough to give faith. Because it's a little effect.
Maybe initially they cannot appreciate the life, but because of course they have to
Well, first they volunteer, so that's their free will. They volunteer to do it, so then it's no longer forced. If they don't want to, then they leave. That's all.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hello, kayo na sa bilad. Agad sulo ang kayo na. Ayo, kayo na.